But not everybody has the good experience. What percentage of people, when they have a near-death experience, they go to something which is unwelcoming and something that would not be described as a positive experience?
Well, there are about 15% of the patients who have a positive near-death experience have a frightening aspect, that is, being in a dark space, which is frightening. But then comes a point of light where they're attracted to it, so the tunnel experience. So 50% has a frightening aspect of it. But about 1% to 2% of the people just stay in this dark space or go down, really down. And it's what you call, knowing the Bible, like a hell-like experience.
Yeah.
And it's frightening. It's feeling of guilt. And it's even much harder to accept this kind of experience and to talk about it.
Talk about the guilt. How, when they describe this feeling of guilt, that triggered something in me. What do they mean by that?
Guilt is because of the Bible, that the hell, this frightening environment is just because you didn't have a good life. So they feel a guilt. But when people ask me, why is it possible, and how is it possible that people have this kind of negative, frightening experience? I say, well, we have to realize that we create our own subjective reality based on our consciousness. And we have so many aspects in our character, in our consciousness, also frightening aspects. And also in this world, when we are in love, the world around us is beautiful. And when we are depressed, our world is like hell. And when we are frightened or made terrified by politicians and by the press, our world will be full of terror. So we experience the surroundings, we experience the subjective reality based on our aspects of our consciousness. And I believe that people with a frightening experience have their experience based on their frightening aspects of their consciousness. It's a subjective reality.
What about the people who have, they start, you know, as you were describing it in the book, and again, we're talking with Dr. Pim van Lommel, Consciousness Beyond Life, 25 years of research into near-death experiences as a cardiologist, a most comprehensive study ever done of this sort, that the people who start off in a dark place, in sort of that isolated place, in my mind, I imagine it as like in almost like a space, like in an attic, where we would call it maybe like in the eaves of the attic, where the roof slants down inside of an attic and it connects to the ceiling. And so you get that little corner, that little dark corner in the attic. And that's how I kind of imagined people were feeling. They were sort of stuck in this sort of dark, cramped corner. And so what happens to them, to those that start there, then see a light? Is there any narrative that they offer between being in that cramped little space and following the light?
Yeah. First, I have to mention one thing. John Milton has written in his poem, Paradise Lost, in 1667, the mind in its own place and in itself can make a heaven or a hell.
Right.
And that's wonderful. So the people who are in this frightening place and are so frightened, they ask for help. They ask God to help them. And in this very moment, a light will come.
Hmm. That's interesting. They ask for God and they see the light, that is to say, the light that God breathes.
You're never, that's what the people tell, you're never alone. There's always a being of light close to you, but you have to ask it, you have to be open for it, and there's always help.
And the people that have a hell-like experience, they do not ask for God's help, or they ask and God's help doesn't come?
No, I think they didn't ask for help if they had a near-death experience, and they just stayed there. But there also know people who asked for help and then went to the light.